Welcome to In Season, where we explore connections between people, plants, land, and wildlife here in the Lower Columbia Pacific region. I'm Teresa Retzloff, and today I am speaking with Brenda Vassau of Low Tide Farms. She and her partner, Kathleen Russell, are here in Klatskanai, and they do pastured pork operation. And I'm so excited to connect with you, and I want to just preface this all by saying we're at their lovely farm. I also have my friend Julie Hackett from Laughing Rabbit Farm in the background distracting Brenda's cat, so you may hear some cat Julie noises in the background too, but it's just farmers together, we're hanging out and we're talking. And we were both fascinated coming to your place because I had no idea when you drive off Highway 30 and head down towards the Columbia River, there is this whole world down here of farms and land and pasture and little houses. This is amazing. How did you find this place?
Well, Kathleen and I would meet, and she's a wildland firefighter based out of Washington near Mount Adams, and we would meet and take drives and take those back roads and take the ferry from Westport over to Puget Island and do those things, and we really fell in love with the area and the Columbia River. So that's how we ended up here.
And you're quite close to the Columbia River here.
Yes.
On your land. But now you were just telling me that you also own another 60-some acres. So this property is 10.
Yeah, so where the homestead is, we are on 10 acres. And around the corner on Riverfront Road, we're actually on the Columbia River over there. And we have 68 acres that we purchased just a little over a year after we moved to this property. I was just talking about, you know, this is the dike lands in Klatskanai. And we have a high water table. And because we do pastured pig rotation, we needed more than 10 acres. We also have goats, and we've recently introduced some cows to our operation, and that's just more for fun. Both of them are just for really land management. Our business is the pastured pork, and we needed just to be able to move them. In wetland, you know, these aren't considered wetlands or dike lands, but we do have a high water table, so we need to move our animals pretty frequently.
Can you talk a little bit about that high water table? I mean, you were saying like 18 inches?
Is it? Yeah, so 18 inches from the top of the soil down is sort of the streaming and tidal ways that the Columbia River moves underneath our land. We have a lot of sloughs in this area, and, you know, Low Tide Farms was named because we are more successful with low tides because we have less flooding in our properties. And so that's how we got to where we were. But so what that means is summertime, we have a lot of control over our pastures being green, and the animals can be out fertilizing, eating, doing their thing. And in the winters, the drainage districts pump the land for getting the water off with all of these canals and drainage.
They pump it?
Yes.
Wow.
So we had pumps installed from the Army Corps of Engineers back in the 60s. And we currently, as a community, manage that situation so that the farmlands don't sour in the winter and that we can still run animals on here, cows and sheep and, you know, goats and, in our case, pigs.
Now, we talked about rotation of animals. Why is it important to have more land? I mean, what is it that's happening? Like, the animals can be on a certain piece of land for a number of months or weeks, and then they have to move off it. What's going on there?
So for our purposes, you know, the goats are browsers, and they will only eat down to, say, eight inches where the hay or blackberries or pasture is, and then we move the pigs in. The pigs are going to root down and eat more of the pasture down to that, you know, 3-inch mark, say. Also sheep and, you know, will do the same. And you want to keep moving them around because they are naturally fertilizing the ground. They are walking on it, and they are, you know, there are sacrifice areas. And what that means is when they walk into their shelter, for example, it gets a lot of use. And so it can get muddy. And so you want to keep moving them to better also better pasture, and by better I mean more nutritional value for the animals, quite frankly. If they are all eating on the same pasture over and over again, then there's hardly any new growth that is coming through. And so we move our pigs more frequently than we move the goats, because the pigs are eating at a lower level anyway. And so we need more acreage because they need more nutritional value as they're moving around, especially as, you know, the summer months come and the growth
growth slows down.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And the growth slows down. So, you know, we actually move our pigs in the summer weekly. They're in about half acre to an acre pasture, and then we move them. And we're on solar hot wire. And what that means is we have solar units out, and they are having the fencing, if you will, is sort of wired material, and we have all the pastures cross-fenced so that we just move them from one place to the next. There's a shelter built into that next pasture, and so on and so forth. So it's just really pretty easy process, actually, once you have the infrastructure set up.
How long does it take the grass to recover? Like, once the pigs have been on it, how long does it need to rest before you can put them back on it again?
I mean, I think from the a month is good. The way we have our rotation set up, that no animal goes back on a pasture before 3 months of resting. And so that is, what is the 68 acres has allowed us to do is that we don't have to repeat and have animals back on that pasture again. So it's hugely beneficial. So they're walking into new pastures every time they move, and it's rested at least 3 months. Even in the summer, there is growth. It's slower. But after 3 months, it's enough nutritional value for them to be able to be moved in.
I've heard a lot of animal farmers talk about how you're really a grass farmer. Like, it's all about managing the grass and growing the grass, and the animals are part of that, and they're managing it, and the animal, it's like the meat is a sort of a byproduct of that, but the grass is everything.
Right.
Because that's the foundation, right? So how is your larger acreage, is that at a similar elevation to this? Is it different, drained?
It's the same elevation, still in the dike lands, and you make a good point about the grasslands. For us, there's a lot of clover as well as the pasture and the grass. And the reason we move them around so much is it's important for the land to recover. You know, it's a part of regenerative farming that we allow the land to recover, to do its natural thing as well. It's really important for our production, for the health of the soils, and for, you know, we have actually a lot of wildlife out here too. We have a white-tailed deer that is protected, and so they are everywhere, and in with the pigs, in with the goats, in with the cows. Everybody is, you know, harmoniously stewarding that land, and as the farmer, we need to make sure that those animals also have access to great nutritional value in their feed, really. You know, we have a lot of aerial prey, a lot of eagles, a lot of osprey, a lot of hawks, all of that.
Have you lost animals to eagles or?
We have not. But we've made the choice to hold off on chickens for now until we can get that properly set up. And that's the other thing, is we are very concerned about, you know, animal welfare and safety. So our pigs all have shelter, our cows have shelter. We want them to be comfortable. We have shaded areas, we have sunny spots. Every pasture is purposely designed for the comfort of the animal, really. I mean, if they're happy and eating well, then, you know, it shows in the final product. We've had people out to the farm, and our animals really, quite frankly, come running to us because they are happy. They're not running away from us. We've had people comment on that. And it's not because we, you know, feed them something special or whatnot. They're just really in their element and enjoying their life. And that's what we, you know, hope to gain and continue to do so.
And it seems like it can be very challenging, but it's a good example of how you can put animal welfare front and center of your business and make that work. And clearly you are making it work. And now, how long have you been doing this?
So we have had the goats, and we've been here in Clatskanie 5 years. We've had the goats the whole time, and we started our pig operation in 2020. And so it was a challenge, and yet it was an opportunity. We brought the animals on pasture. We, you know, had a lot of, you know, it was a lot of testing, actually, that first year. When should we rotate? How should we move them? When, you know, and, you know, it's funny, you have a plan, and, you know, the animals have one, too, and you just try to figure out how to get them to do, to kind of, there's a lot of compromise.
Can you find common ground with both your plans?
And literally, we can. We found that we just set them up for success, and they sort of get in the program. We start young. We have piglets in the spring.
Do you raise your own pigs? You breed your own pigs?
Yes, we do. Uh-huh. And so we have piglets in the spring, and they are trained on hot wire early so that they get an understanding of where their barrier is. But we also give them plenty of space. Like I mentioned, you know, some of their pastures are half acre to an acre. Some of them we were like, well, you know, let's just make this one bigger. And we have the capability of changing them all around if we want to, just because it's just an easier situation to roll up a line and, you know, let them expand. And in the summers, we give them more leeway because it does get drier in the summer, even here. Yeah, so far it's been successful, and, you know, it's not without its challenges. However, you know, it's magical, miraculous, and humbling all at the same time. Every day those experiences happen here.
It's so great to hear you talk like that and to see, like, in such a short period of time, how you've been able to learn and grow. I mean, do either of you come from a farming background or raising animals or doing this?
Kathleen's had animals. She's had cows and goats throughout, you know, at least the last 15 years. My family is from Wisconsin, and my father grew up on a dairy farm. My mother's side of the family had horses, and they were in rodeos. And so I was around it when I was younger, and then, you know, I went off and did my career and lived in the city, and it was time to kind of get back down to my roots and live in a smaller community where I felt like we could connect to other people who have, you know, the same values and start creating more of a community within communities. I mean, there's in this region, there's, you know, we have our little Dykeland region here, and then we have Clatskanie as a whole, and then there's, you know, the Columbia River Valley that you spoke of, and with inclusive of Astoria and down to Tillamook, and that's kind of where our sales platform rolls to, is we are here in Clatskanie at the Clatskanie Food Hub, we are in Astoria at the North Coast Food Web, and we're at all the way down to Tillamook with Food Roots, and
that's a lot of connections to be making in this region. That's great.
Yeah, it was, you know, once you find your network and you find that there's a lot of people out there trying to do the same thing for the animals and vegetables and everything else that we are, you know, inspired to do, it's actually pretty simple in a lot of ways.
That's really inspiring. If you are just joining us here on In Season here on KMUN 91.9 FM, I'm Teresa Retzloff, and I'm speaking today to Brenda Vassow, like Nassau, yeah, but Vassow. And she and her partner Kathleen own Low Tide Farms in Clatskanie, and it's pastured pork, but you also have goats and cows. I'm curious about how the goats and cows kind of fit into this, and how do they affect the pasture? How do they affect the pigs? I mean, why would you do that? Why not just pigs?
Yeah, well, one of the reasons we have the goats is because the goats browse, and what that means is they are going to eat at a higher level. Everyone knows how big a blackberry plant can be, just as an example. And the goats love the leaves. There's a lot of protein in that. They'll eat the you know, the kind of the smaller branches off, and so they'll be at that level. They'll eat the hay, and as it starts, you know, getting to 2 and 3 feet. So what we do is we rotate them in first, and then the pigs follow. The pigs aren't going to necessarily eat hay at 3 feet. They're not even that tall. So they need it kind of lower for them. And one way you can do that certainly is to mow the pasture. But we do it in such a way that we are naturally, you know, allowing the land to regenerate itself by moving those goats through. Then there's a break in that particular pasture. Then the pigs come in. The cows were introduced because we had an interest in seeing how they would affect the land. Our herd is very small. We just have 5, and 3 of them are under the age of 1. And we just had a calf last week. And part of it is kind of the magic of that and seeing and understanding how nature works. You know, there's nothing better than being out in a pasture and watching a mom and a newborn calf just do the dance, you know, figure it out, do the nursing. And you know, it helps with land management. With 68 acres, you know, we don't have enough animals to manage all of that. The cows need bigger space. So they can take 15, 20 acres of that in a given stretch and just keep it sort of mowed down, if you will.
So they and their goats are your mowers.
Exactly. Yes, that's exactly right.
And the goats are your BlackBerry control.
That's
right. This is really smart. I'm suddenly thinking, why do I just have chickens? Maybe goats are another whole thing, but that's fascinating to think about how to incorporate all of those things together and make that all connect into your operation that ultimately is about the pigs, but you're using these other animals to help manage these other aspects of the land.
Right.
Do you ever have to reseed the pastures, or when you purchase the places where the pastures are in pretty good shape, do you deal with invasive plants besides blackberries?
So we purchased the property, both properties that had not been used for, even though we're in agricultural areas, they hadn't been used in quite some time. And so there's a term called fallow where these invasive weeds can come in and things can get a little unmanageable and out of control. And quite frankly, that's where the goats come in. They are the not only brush control, like, you know, everyone thinks of blackberries, but the goats prefer the worst part of the pasture, honestly. So putting them through the first round, it helps actually, and their disturbance of the soil, the seeds that are in the soil are disturbed in such a way that they start to grow once that weed is taken care of. So we were prepared to seed. We actually purchased seed and clover and, you know, fescue and those. You know, we honestly do it in a few spots. And again, I talked about the sacrifice areas, maybe where the animals go into their shelter in and out every day. That's going to get a little worn down. So we might reseed that a little bit. We thought we were going to need to sort of reseed the pastures, and we have yet to do that. And we've been here, you know, actively managing with the animals, the land, for 4 years, and we've never done it.
That's amazing.
I know.
That really speaks well to the approach that you're taking. And I am fascinated. Do you get other things like Scotch broom coming in or things like that? Is that stuff that the goats would take care of?
That's right. So we haven't had necessarily Scotch broom, but we have had other invasive weeds come in, and the goats actually take care of it. There is some thistle, you know, our favorite, but then the goats don't want to eat that, but for some reason the pigs really want that root system.
So they'll dig up the thistle root.
Oh, yeah, it's great. I mean, it's so... You want to leave the pigs in there long enough to do that, but not so much that they're rooting more. So it's really you're actively out there every day, rain, sometimes snow, you know, sunshine, like, and I touch all the animals all the time. I touch the goats, I touch the pigs, not only to make sure they're healthy and fine, but also I walk their pastures with them because I want to see where we are, how we are doing in that particular pasture. And while we may think, yeah, we have a rotation schedule and it's time to move these guys on Saturday, we might go out there and think maybe we should do it Wednesday instead. You know, I mean, and that's part of the process here is being out there with them. And, you know, they help us determine, you know, where their level of, you know, graze is at that time, really, quite frankly.
And you can tell by the way they're behaving, oh, they need to be moved sooner, or we could leave them here a bit longer.
Yeah.
That's a lot of observation.
Yeah. I mean, that's, it's been so interesting, honestly. It's so interesting seeing their behaviors and whatnot. And they do. We all know goats can be sneaky and a little bit of a handful. And if they get bored, that's when that happens. And so we, you know, they're probably harder than the pigs. Honestly, the pigs are pretty easygoing and the cows, quite frankly. So the goats kind of control the home, even though they are the farm, even though they, you know, are here just for the purposes of keeping all the soils and the land, you know, clean. And so they're a huge part of our operation.
What do they do when they get frisky? Do they break out?
We have a pretty good herd right now, but yeah, oh yeah. If there's an inch, they'll take it. And so they're on, you know, fencing that is also solar controlled, so we can move it around with them. And if there's a mistake been made by myself, they will take advantage of it.
So they're checking that wire all the time.
Oh yeah. They will. The pigs are less likely to do so, actually. So it's interesting to see that. The cows are really easy, actually, as far as that goes. They're pretty happy. But again, you have to be out there managing that and seeing what they're seeing on a daily basis. I walk 68 acres all the time.
You must be very fit. Who needs the gym?
Coming from the corporate world, I have never been in better shape in my life. But yeah.
It's just constant walking, and there is a peace to it as well. I certainly find that when I'm doing my regular walks around my farm, there's just something about seeing it through the different seasons, and you get to know your land really well.
Yes.
Over time, and you do notice those changes even when they're very subtle.
Yes. And it's super important to do that. You know, the animals will be your first line of sight because, again, if they're being, you know, a little bit crazy, you want to, you know, address that. But mostly it is all about land, you know, walking it, seeing it through the course of the different seasons. And as I mentioned before, we are out there in, you know, we have the gear. We, you know, 8 hours in the rain is what you're going to expect when you live here.
Yeah.
And they, you know, sort of expect that from you. You build a trust with the animals, too. Like, we are not going to leave them in a position where they aren't comfortable, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And they trust us as well as we trust that they're going to do, you know, what they do best. So we've identified what that is for them and for us. And so it becomes like, you know, this really happy sort of ecosystem. Then throw in some, you know, deer and fox and, you know, eagles and, you know, the hawks are doing their job. You know, we're all working in this ecosystem together. And so that's the magic. That's when it all happens. When you see all the wildlife out here in addition to the other animals that are, you know, domesticated, so to speak, through the livestock, it's really quite special. I mean, it is not a bad day to be walking around acreage at all.
I can imagine if you get to see all those things in one day. I mean, people pay great money to take vacations to go walk around and look at bald eagles, and you get to just do it as part of your job.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a pretty powerful pretty powerful thing. How have you felt about your reception? You know, are you feeling good about where you guys are at and where you're headed as a farm? You know, making connections to customers and finding community here, has that?
Yes, we have done a lot of work with, you know, our sales platforms, which are, you know, our nonprofits in the area that are here to help incubate small businesses. So in our case, it's small mm-hmm. farmers, small producers, and what have you. And their emphasis is really to help us be successful. And so there's all sorts of programs and opportunities to get involved with them and, we can lead too, and they will support us. So when we have, ideas and see opportunity in the area for not only ourselves to be successful, but for others in the community, it's, we've gotten nothing but open arms. Klatskanai is with the dike lands and the hills, and it's a unique ecosystem here. A lot of water, not only the natural beauty, of course, of the Klatskanai River and the Columbia River, but all the sloughs and whatnot, and how the community comes together to, try to find success for everybody has been really, really important. Not only that, but also really inspiring. It's not that any idea is not a good idea. People will see that and, we'll all try to make it happen. So it's been fabulous. I mean, we love it. We came here not really kind of knowing what to expect. And, like I said, within a year or so, we bought the other property because we wanted to stay. And we could see the support and we could see the other people in the community, whether they're farmers or not. They are wanting, the type of product that a lot of the producers in the area are providing. We don't use, I probably don't need to say this, but we don't use antibiotics or hormones or, any of the things. And we don't need to because the nature is providing, those sort of natural elements, so to speak, of good health if we rotate into new regenerative places for the animals. It's really quite magical. If they have the space, we don't need to interfere. And, kind of going back to moving these animals, the less I interfere with them, the easier they move. So we just allow open space and then we just kind of guide them into it, and they, they take it from there. We're sitting back watching at this point.
It's very inspiring, and it's so cool to listen to you talk about it and how it's become something not just that you're connected to the land, but to the community in such a short space of time. It's really wonderful to hear. If people want to find out more about your farm and what you do, what are the best ways to get in touch with you?
So we're on Facebook and Instagram, and we have a website. It's lowtidefarms.com, and you can reach us. All our information's out there in those areas, and I've mentioned where our sales platforms are. And I would encourage anybody who's interested in checking out where your food is coming from is to go to Klatskanai Food Hub, North Coast Food Web, or Food Roots, because that is where all these small producers are, and all that product that is coming out of there is just, not unlike us. It's just people who have found a way to really make some beautiful food for everyone to enjoy. So I'm really super excited about what's going to happen in the upcoming years.
That's so great. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. And to everyone, thanks for listening. I've been talking to Brenda from Low Tide Farms, and you've been listening to In Season on KMUN. And it's been a great conversation, very inspiring. And thanks.